This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with rotowire.com. Excited about this show. NBA-centric show, of course. The NBA draft is tonight. We have massive deals, but enough about Julius Randle. We'll talk about others as well coming up here in just a second. Of course, Alex Barutha joining us. We're going to preview the World Cup. And, of course, we'll have our best bets for today's slate. Nick, let's jump right into it, though. The Giannis deal, it's over. It's finally over. The long saga has concluded. He is now a member of the Miami Heat.
13 months, Jeff. It's been 13 months since Shams Charania initially tweeted about Giannis potentially leaving Milwaukee. This is the longest, most annoying trade saga I can remember. I'm so relieved that it's finally over. And ironically, with all these twists and turns, you know, Giannis ends up with the team that from the start has been rumored as one of the primary landing spots in the Miami Heat. Now, it certainly felt, and the betting markets reflected this at times yesterday, that the Boston Celtics were going to be the favorite. You know, we've since gotten some details that, okay, maybe Boston wasn't willing to put some of its role players on the table, which is interesting to me. I mean, we're talking guys like Hugo Gonzalez and Baylor Shireman, who are contributors and have futures in the NBA. But if you're not willing to put guys like that on the table to get Giannis, you're not ultimately going to get the deal done. And look, I think Boston took on some pretty major risk by throwing their hat into the ring, by publicly putting Jaylen Brown on the table and then not getting this deal done. I don't know how you repair that relationship with Jaylen Brown. I'm sure they'll try, but everything that we've learned about Jaylen Brown over the last year or so would suggest that this is probably something he's going to take personally. And I don't know that he's just going to walk back to the Boston Celtics and say, all right, you know, I'll fall in line. I'll be the number two option behind Jason Tatum after you just tried to trade me to the Milwaukee Bucks for the last month. So that's really the more interesting story to me. We'll get into, you know, what the return means for Milwaukee, you know, what this Heat team is going to look like with Giannis and Bam. But I just wonder, what's the next move for the Boston Celtics? The good news is Jaylen Brown is extremely valuable. He was one of the 10 best players in the NBA this past season. He was a second team All-NBA guy. He averaged almost 30 a game. There are plenty of teams that will be lining up to get their hands on Jaylen Brown if it does come to that. But if you're the Celtics, you're not necessarily looking to take a step back. And any deal for Jaylen Brown, even if you're bringing in some really attractive assets, you're probably going to be a little bit worse than you would be with peak Jaylen Brown and a healthy Jason Tatum.
Yeah, exactly. And last year is supposed to be the year you get through if you're the Celtics. You made some tough calls. They overachieved in the regular season and then, of course, crashed out in the playoffs. They tried to make this reload for now and come up short. Yeah, it's tough to see what they're going to do. Miami, let's look at them as a whole. They give up Tyler Herro in the deal there. Obviously, that's a big part of it there. You know, three first-round picks. Looking at their title chances here, obviously, they're throwing their hat in the ring. They think they're going to be a good team right now. They think they got a chance to win the East. Their odds have improved considerably. Did they do enough? Is there another move coming for them?
There better be more moves coming because Miami Heat need to fill out a starting five. They need to fill out a complete roster. Gone are the days, Jeff, where the NBA was really top heavy talent wise, and you could build a title contender around two stars and just kind of, you know, backfill the rest of the roster. I mean, the common thread between teams that are winning at a high level in the NBA right now is one, yes, you do have the star power at the top of the roster. But two, it's the depth. You know, you need those three, four, five options in the starting lineup to be contributors. We just saw it with the New York Knicks, right? You need to have your version of OG Anunoby. You need to have your version of Josh Hart. You need to have guys who can contribute off the bench. And, you know, we'll see. I mean, there was a report just before we jumped on that, you know, the Heat are going to have a really difficult time retaining Norman Powell. That's a pretty big problem. You know, they'll be able to sign and trade him. They'll be able to get a piece back. But, I mean, that's a guy who could average 20-plus points per game, who's played really well over the last couple of years. So you have Andrew Wiggins, you have Davion Mitchell, who reportedly the Heat wanted to include in the deal instead of Kasperis Jakachonis, and the Bucks, you know, preferred the Illinois product instead. The Heat will be a good team as long as Giannis and Bam stay healthy. But look, as much as I love Bam Adebayo, Jeff, we're not talking about, you know, teaming up peak Kevin Durant with peak Stephen Curry or peak Dwayne Wade with peak LeBron James. Like, Bam Adebayo is a very nice player. He's not a superstar, right? It's not like you have two of the 10 best players in the NBA. So, no, I think the odds are reflective of where Miami stands right now. They move from about 35, 40 to 1 down to 18 to 1 to win the title. There's just a lot of ifs. You know, is Giannis healthy at the right time? Is there any friction as far as, you know, fitting in with this new team? He's never played for another team in the NBA. And then, of course, Miami is going to have to work some magic on the rest of this roster. I will say this, Jeff, the way this has all worked out with the Heat now, you know, having this big two and a barren rest of the roster, with Boston now at odds with Jaylen Brown, by far the biggest winners of the Giannis trade are somehow the New York Knicks.
Yeah, I completely agree. I completely agree. And the funny thing is, they're not even the betting favorite for the Eastern Conference right now. The Celtics remain that at plus 225 over at the DraftKings Sportsbook. The Knicks are 3-1. I actually think those are pretty decent odds. I don't get into July conference winning odds for you more often than not. Fun to talk about. I don't know if I were interested in that, dabbling in that market, I'd feel pretty good about that right now.
No question. I mean, I think you could just go down the list, right? And again, maybe I'm overblowing this Jaylen Brown thing and everything will be fine and he'll go back to Boston, in which case the Celtics will be very good. But they, you know, they wouldn't be an overwhelming favorite to me in the Eastern Conference. But I mean, New York, obviously we saw what this team is capable of when everybody's healthy and the way they came together in the playoffs. Every other team has massive question marks. We've talked about Boston and Miami. I mean, Detroit clearly needs to get better from the team that they were thrown out in the playoffs last year. I know there's some optimism on Indiana. I need to see it first. I'd be surprised if that team is in the Eastern Conference Finals. We go down this road with the Cavaliers and the Sixers every single year. I mean, Cavs are still employing James Harden. And until that changes, I don't know if we could take them seriously. Philly is still tethered to Paul George and Joel Embiid's health, which is just not something you can count on. We could say that, you know, there's a path to Boston, you know, maybe flipping Jaylen Brown, turning him into either another star or a couple pieces who equal or exceed what Jaylen Brown could give them. That's very much on the table. And then maybe Boston is the rightful favorite. But as things stand right now, I don't know how you could look anywhere else but the New York Knicks as clearly the safest pick to return to the finals.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. I want to talk about the Bucks side of things. And I also want to talk Julius Randle. But first, want to bet smarter? Then you need RotoWire. Our brand new smart money tool shows you exactly where the sharp money and the sharp action is moving, so you're always on the right side of the line. And that's just the start. RotoWire's award-winning staff delivers rankings, projections, real-time injury updates, and data-driven insights across every sport every day. Whether you're handicapping games, crushing your fantasy league, or both, RotoWire has you covered. Head to rotowire.com right now and use promo code VSIN at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. That's rotowire.com. Promo code VSIN. Got a World Cup update. Portugal has taken a 1-0 lead on Uzbekistan. Cristiano Ronaldo with the goal. So little redemption arc here for him, perhaps. Nick, the Bucks side, did they get enough? Are they going to make another move? Is Tyler Hero even going to stay a Buck? What happens next with them?
Look, Jeff, I think given their lack of leverage outside of being able to pit the Celtics against the Miami Heat, and then I guess the Timberwolves, you know, kind of sitting there as the third team, given their lack of leverage, I think the Bucks did really, really well. You know, ideally, you'd like to bring back a bigger star to headline a trade when you're sending out a player like Giannis Antetokounmpo. I think that's a big part of the reason they heavily considered the Jaylen Brown offer from Boston. But look, every single player from Miami that they brought back, Tyler Hero, Khalil Ware, Jaime Jaquez, Kasparis Giakoumpis, all of these guys have trade value. And if I'm Milwaukee, I know maybe there's some obligation to feel like you have to at least try to put a winning product on the court. You don't necessarily want to bottom out, especially with the updated lottery odds. But I would be heavily exploring trading just about all these guys, depending on what the price is. Hero especially. I mean, we already know there are teams lining up to potentially add him. The Detroit Pistons are probably at the top of that list. So they got players who, if they want to keep, you could justify keeping them. If you want to trade them, they'll all have value. You get the 3 first round picks, you get the swap, you even get a second rounder. They added the number 13 pick in the draft later tonight, so you can maybe package that with number 10 and try to move up if you want. Otherwise, you get 2 bites at the apple in the late lottery. Again, I think given the circumstances, this was not an open bidding war for all 29 other teams. I think Milwaukee ended up doing really well here.
Yeah, I agree. This is better than some of the other hostage situations, that, if you will. The Bucks held firm for a long time on making this deal, too. So I think that probably helped them a little bit. Let's talk a little Julius Randle. Bitter pill for him to swallow going to New York, to New York's second team, after seeing his previous team celebrate a championship. And Timberwolves basically had to pay a draft pick price for the relief of getting off of his salary there. Pretty wild set of sequences there for him.
Yeah, this is just an old school salary dump, Jeff. I don't see any other way to read this. And you know, obviously Minnesota turned around and then signed Ayo Dosunmu to an extension last night. So that was the reason that they were trying to get off of the Randall contract. But this is a disaster, I think, for the Timberwolves, right? I mean, we can officially say now, if the Knicks winning the title didn't do it, that you know they have lost the Karl Anthony Towns, Julius Randle trade. You know, really everything that's happened since they brought in Rudy Gobert just hasn't gone to plan. You know, they made a couple Western Conference finals. You never really felt like they had the roster to truly make the finals or certainly win the finals in the Western Conference. But this is Minnesota, I think, admitting defeat on a big swing, trading Karl Anthony Towns. So yeah, I was kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. It ended up being Dosunmu, but there's no other way to read this other than Minnesota just saying, we can't be paying Julius Randle this price to be the type of player that he is. I will say this, the Chicago Bulls swooping in and just stealing Nicholas Claxton away from the Brooklyn Nets. Yes, you have to pay him on that contract, but I thought that was a really, really shrewd move. Not something we have said about Chicago Bulls transactions very often over the last decade, right. But Claxton to me is somebody who's just kind of gotten lost in the shuffle with the Nets tanking over these last couple of years. I think being in a more competitive situation, being in a fresh environment in Chicago is going to do him a lot of good.
We're going to have more NBA talk in about 15 minutes when Alex Barutha joins us. Coming up next, though, it's World Cup preview time and review of the stars coming out again yesterday in the World Cup. This is Prop Points.
So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you'll get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson back with you. It's the Tuesday edition of Prop Points here on the sports betting network. We, of course, had to begin the show talking some Giannis Antetokounmpo, now a member of the Miami Heat. We'll have more reaction and start looking ahead to the NBA draft tonight with our guy Alex Barutha in about 10 minutes. But Jeff, we have our first game of the day ongoing down in Houston. World Cup group play continuing. Portugal up 1-0 on Uzbekistan. Cristiano Ronaldo getting Portugal on the board in the 6th minute. So we're still early. We're just 15 minutes in, but 1-0 Portugal. Will have England, Ghana, Panama, Croatia, Colombia, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo to finish out the Tuesday slate. Before we get some of your thoughts on those games, Jeff, want to recap what was another wild day in the World Cup yesterday. One of the themes so far, and especially now the case with what we just saw from Cristiano Ronaldo, has been the stars coming out. I mean, just loads and loads of goals, a couple multi-goal games for some of the biggest names in the tournament, two more from Lionel Messi yesterday. So not only did he break the record, he added to his career goal total in the FIFA World Cup. But you know, we mentioned this last week, Jeff, Kylian Mbappe, two more goals for him as well. He's still just two behind Lionel Messi career and is, what, 11 years younger?
Yeah, age 27 year. It's crazy that, you know, and as strong as France is, you got to figure there's at least two more World Cups for him coming up here. You don't ever know what time does to a player and how he ages, but at least one more. And the rest of this World Cup, for that matter, as well. France is expected to make a deep run, as is Argentina. It's interesting. We've had two games in a row where it's multi-goal games from the stars in that day of games, where we saw, you know, Messi, you saw, you know, Mbappe, and you saw Erling Haaland all have multiple goal games. Just fun to see that out. We now have a multiple game for another goal for Portugal, by the way. It's now 2-0. They just scored on a free kick. It was not Ronaldo this time, but he was kind of more of a decoy on this one there. They have multiple people lining up for that there. So Portugal taking care of business a little bit so far. It's now at the 16-minute mark there, and they're already up 2-0. But going back to Messi, you know, it's amazing to see how this whole Argentina team builds themselves around him. They don't ask him to play a whole lot of defense. I think he's made 2 tackles the entire tournament. They willingly know they're setting him up to carry them, and they're willing to do that. The formula worked great against last year in Qatar, and it worked well. And so far, these first 2 games so far for Argentina, 2-0 over a pretty good Austrian side. They're already advanced to the next round. It's really fun to see that. And of course, we get the American broadcasting view of this. American broadcasters love the stars. This is like perfect for them. See Mbappe have 2 brilliant games like this. See Haaland have 2 great games like this. Been really fun to watch.
Well, from one form of football to another, Jeff, the all-new VSiN NFL betting guide is officially out. Make sure you go and grab your copy, whether you're betting futures, win totals, division races, MVP, Rookie of the Year, Super Bowl. Our guide helps you get ahead of the market before training camps begin. Inside this year's guide, you'll find breakdowns for all 32 teams, projected win totals, best bets from your favorite VSiN experts, futures analysis, power ratings, and a whole lot more. You grab your copy today as part of our football special. Do that for just $175. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get, with full access to everything we do at VSiN across every sport through the Super Bowl. So that includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DK and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Do it right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Get your copy of the 2026 VSiN NFL betting guide. So, Jeff, we talked a little bit about what we saw yesterday. I'm curious, now that, you know, most teams have 2 games under their belt, is there a team for you where your opinion has really changed from before play started to where we sit now, you know, starting to lock in a lot of these teams for the elimination round? A team that you feel either markedly better or markedly worse about?
Well, kind of a obscure one, maybe not obscure, but definitely one that I was remotely high on was Uruguay. I thought that they were a solid team, great defensive side. I liked their group. I thought they were for sure going to get into the elimination rounds and maybe even get a good draw. Now they have to get a result against Spain in their third game just to advance, with the draw against Cape Verde. So that was a big one for me to see that happen there. Really impressed with what I saw of the Netherlands against Sweden over the weekend. I thought that was a really fun game as well. And then keep it local, Team USA. The vibes weren't all necessarily all that great coming into the tournament. They beat Senegal, yes, but they got beat pretty comfortably by Germany. And, you know, in the previous iteration of friendlies, they had some embarrassing results, notably against Belgium was one of them there. We'll see if Pulisic can stay healthy when we get to the elimination rounds. I wouldn't expect to see much out of him on Thursday night against Turkey, but I did not expect them to win the group. I thought Turkey A would win the group, and not only did USA win the group, but Turkey A has already been eliminated. So I was aggressively wrong a little bit on that one there. So I'm pleasantly surprised to see how well the Team USA has played.
Let's take a look at some of the games coming our way later tonight. Again, we are in action between Portugal and Uzbekistan. 2-0 Portugal in the 21st minute. England-Ghana will be the next game coming up at 4 p.m. Eastern. That is out at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. Both these teams won their first matches. Jeff, we do have England as a heavy favorite on the money line, -525. You can hop on Ghana right now, 15-1 at DraftKings. Draw coming in at 6-1. How do you see this one playing out style-wise?
So Ghana's going to try to drag this game into the muck. They really need to. And that's what they did in the win over Panama. They scored late to win 1-0 on that one there. They don't want to get into a shootout with England, who's got tons of firepower, 22 shots in their first game against Croatia, and just a huge run at the start of the second half there where they just took over that game. If it weren't for the Croatian keeper standing on his head, this might have been a 6 or 7-2 instead of 4-2. I think the back line for England still has some leaks, but I do think they're going to try to get this the pace up in this game. I think they're going to get Harry Kane untracked again. Harry Kane, for all of our talk about the stars, Messi, about Mbappe, and justifiably Erling Haaland, Harry Kane was the leading scorer in professional play this past season. 51 goals and across all contests. So That was before his two goals against Croatia in the opener here. I think they'll look to get him going again early in this one here.
So we get Panama and Croatia, 7 p.m. Eastern tonight, Jeff. Croatia, -205 favorite on the money line. Draw in this one is +340. Both teams lost their first game. I think you have to look at this as essentially an elimination game. How does that change how either of these teams play? Do we see more urgency in a spot like this than you would in the opener?
Yeah, and especially on the Croatian side. A good side, but they knew this was always going to be their toughest matchup against Panama there. And then they'll get Ghana in the last one. That could be a big one as well. Panama is a very defensive-oriented team. 8 years ago, they were overwhelmed in that one there. In the World Cup, I expect that they'll be a little more competitive in this one, but I think Croatia has the better quality. Their problem is that they don't have a lot of youth on that side. It's Luka Modric is their best player, and he showed his age in the loss to England there. We'll see if he can bounce back. It's an older team that's made some deep runs in tournaments before, including the World Cup before. So I expect them to come back, show some quality. Can they get it over the line? Can they make it through 90 minutes?
Final game on the slate later tonight, Jeff, is Colombia versus the Democratic Republic of the Congo. This one down in Guadalajara, Mexico. Yeah, we saw the Congo end up pulling off that draw with Portugal in the first matchup, one of the early stories of the tournament. Do they have another surprise in store for us against Colombia?
Yeah, Colombia is a really good side. I think that, you know, I think Congo impressed. I think they showed they're more than just happy to be their side. And, you know, the way they drew against Portugal and threatened to win late in that one, frankly, was pretty impressive. There's some really good quality players in Congo. Colombia, though, man, they're so good. They had the goal of the tournament, too. I don't know if you saw it late. The third goal they got over Uzbekistan, there was a battle into the corner. A guy gets knocked down, stays with the play, battles, gets a cross in goal to get that third goal, kind of put the game out of reach. Fun Colombian team. I think that they are reasonably justifiably favored in this one here. Looking over at the DraftKings Sportsbook there, it's a -190 price for them to win, +3-1 to draw, 6-1 if you like DR Congo. I think I would lay the wood on Colombia here. I think they're really that good of a team. I'd like them at -190.
All right, there we have it. -190, that money line price. If you want to hop on Congo, 6-1 right now, draw sitting 3-1 over at DraftKings. Again, that game coming our way in the late window tonight from Mexico. We're at a break right now between Portugal and Uzbekistan. Coming up on the 24th minute, still 2-0 Portugal. We'll, of course, keep you posted on everything that happens in that game as the show rolls along. But it is a massive day in the National Basketball Association. We're going to go back to the NBA when we come back. Alex Baruta joining us with his thoughts on the Giannis Antetokounmpo trade. We'll get some NBA draft plays for him for tonight as well. More Hoops Talk coming your way next when we return. Watch the Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson back with you. It's Prop Points here on VSiN, and we have a goal in the Portugal-Uzbekistan game. Portugal getting out to a 2-0 lead. Uzbekistan just put one on the board in the 29th minute. So now 2-1. Still early, about midway through the first half, a little past the halfway point, but tightening up a little bit after those two early goals from Portugal. Uzbekistan now trailing 2-1. We will keep you updated as that game progresses. We have so much going on in the NBA right now, including the NBA draft, round one coming our way tonight. So we're going back to the Progressive guest line. We're bringing on our friend Alex Baruta, our senior NBA editor at rotowire.com, at Baruta Alex on Twitter, on X. Alex, I want to get some draft plays from you, but we need to start with your reaction to the long-awaited Giannis Antetokounmpo deal. I'll phrase it to you this way. It sounds like it was down to the Heat and the Celtics. We, of course, know what the Heat put on the table because the Bucks took it. The rumored deal from Boston would have been Jaylen Brown, and 2 first-round picks. The idea being that Milwaukee could either immediately or eventually flip Jaylen Brown into more assets. If you were the Milwaukee Bucks, which of those offers was more appealing to you?
I think the Heat offer, because you get another pick in this draft. You know, it was funny enough. I think when a lot of this initial reporting came out about the Heat, and I don't mean like a year ago, I mean like, you know, the past 2 weeks ago, the pick that the Bucks were going to get was the headliner. It was like, oh, this offer headlined by the number 13 pick in the draft, and also Tyler Hero. So I think that's big for the Bucks, especially because with the new flattened lottery odds, or whatever you want to call the new draft system in the NBA, it's going to be harder for a team like the Bucks, who's rebuilding, to get a guaranteed top 10 pick, even if they're bad. So the fact that you can get another pick in the lottery in this draft and secure some more interesting young talent going forward, I do really like that. And I think, you know, I'm not that excited as a Bucks fan about like Tyler Hero. You know, Khalil Ware is interesting and has upside, possibly uncoachable. Hawkins is already like 25 years old, I think. So that's kind of what it is. And Hero might be on the move anyway. You know, like, the Bucks could maybe flip Jaylen Brown down the road and be more competitive in the short term. They could also probably flip Tyler Hero right now. So I think the deal was pretty good for both sides.
Quick update on the World Cup game. The Uzbekistan goal got overturned. A foul by an Uzbekistani negated that goal. So you mentioned Tyler Hero might get traded, Alex. What are possible destinations for him?
Detroit has been rumored for him. I think that makes sense. You know, I mean, they need some more offensive punch, unquestionably. You know, I think they have a decent, like, I don't think they can... I don't think any team is going to like blow the Bucks away with a crazy offer, but if you're the Pistons, you know, it's like, well, maybe we can just give you Ron Holland. And I think it's the 21st pick, or, you know, pick in the 20s in this draft that they have. And the Bucks might be like, good enough for us. You know, we don't necessarily need Tyler Hero. And we get a chance to see like Ron Holland or somebody. I think Minnesota now, you know, has to be in the conversation. They, by trading Julius Randle, they opened up this $33 million trade exception. I don't know if Hero is necessarily the guy I would want if I was them. At the same time, like, they are another team that clearly they need some sort of secondary source of offense that is not Anthony Edwards. As much as I like Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels, like, those guys are not 20-point per game scorers. So, I think those are two teams that could be in the running.
We'll have more from Alex Barutha in just a moment. But folks, $30 million is on the line in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season in Las Vegas with 3 Circus Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, all with 0 rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, you pick one winner each week. Last one standing wins. And of course, Circa Grandissimo back for another year. It's for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada, play from anywhere, $30 million guaranteed. Visit circasports.com for full details. Talk with Alex Barutha, NBA expert for us at RotoWire, joining via the Progressive guest line. So where does this leave Miami next season, Alex? I kind of spoke my piece on this to begin the show. We've seen Miami move from about 35, 40 to 1 down to 18 to 1 at the DraftKings Sportsbook. And look, outside of the New York Knicks and the Boston Celtics, I think you can make a case that Miami stacks up pretty well against that middle portion of the Eastern Conference. But how do the Heat go about surrounding Giannis and Bam Adebayo with a title-capable roster right away?
It's a good question. I mean, as the roster stands right now, they are very defensive-heavy. They have the potential to be an elite defense. You know, with Bam and Giannis, you have Andrew Wiggins, who's going to be there as a good defender. Davion Mitchell, great point of attack defender. It sounds like they're going to lose Norman Powell for salary reasons, which is that's kind of a bad beat for them because they need scoring now. You know, they do need like a third scorer. I mean, Bam is... I don't know if Bam is like really a number two offensive option. Even if your number one option is Giannis, we've seen Bam just really struggle with consistency. I think there might be some growing pains because if he's not knocking down his threes, then there's going to be some relatively weak spacing. But I think more than anything, the Heat to sort of establish themselves as like a real title contender do need to find scoring and a relatively reliable source of scoring, a guy that can score like 16 to 20 a game. Like the problem is those guys don't grow on trees and then there's not like a million free agents like that out there. And obviously they're not going to be able to do a lot from the draft. They're going to have to ask a lot more Andrew Wiggins potentially, but yeah, it's going to be huge free agency for them. I mean, I said this to Jeff earlier, like the positive news is that it's Miami and they are a free agent destination, even when they're not very good. And just from like a market perspective, now guys are probably going to want to go play in Miami because they can be part of a potential title contender. And again, it's Miami, who doesn't want to play there. So they have a lot of work to do in free agency, trying to find some offensive spark plugs.
Sportsbooks don't like putting out NBA draft props, but we're going to talk some NBA draft props anyhow here. AJ DeBonta is a heavy, heavy favorite to go number one overall at -800. Is there a dark horse you like? Would you sprinkle a little play on Darren Peterson at 7-1 at DraftKings to go first overall?
I would, yeah. I mean, I do think DeBonta will go number one, but there are a lot of really respected draft analysts who think Darren Peterson is the best prospect and should go number one. And in a situation like that, it's hard for me to turn down like 6-1 or 7-1 for that guy to be the number one pick. I think the questions about Peterson are totally fair. I have those questions. I'm not a Peterson guy over DeBonta. I think a lot of the people who have Peterson over DeBonta felt that way before college. They felt that way when these guys were seniors in high school. And the college stuff didn't change your opinion because they don't, you know, you don't know what to make of it with the cramping and whether or not to believe the creatine stuff. And I think there are relatively fair questions about DeBonta in terms of like, is the three ball going to be consistent? Is he going to be too much of like a mid-range guy? Stuff like that. Is it just safer to take Peterson, who's a better playmaker and in theory a better shooter, and maybe some sort of like a Damian Lillard, Devin Booker type? But if we're talking value, you know, sportsbook wise, I think, you know, Peterson at 6 or 7-1 is pretty nice.
So we expect this to be a pretty guard heavy lottery, Alex, especially within the top 10 picks. Anything you're playing right now with regard to Darius Acuff out of Arkansas?
Darius Acuff to Sacramento with the number 7 pick. It's pretty chalky. I mean, +120. It's just been rumored for such a long time. I mean, I've been hearing word that like basically in the middle of the college season or even like earlier than that, Sacramento was like, we need Acuff. Like, this is our guy. So if someone's been rumored to you for that long or rumored that like he won't make it past you for that long and there's a legitimate shot, he is still on the board at 7. I'm just going to like lean into that and take that value. And I think Acuff, like, I think there's a pretty good chance he also goes number 6. That would not surprise me at all. I think he is the absolute perfect guy if you are Brooklyn or Sacramento to be like, all right, we need a franchise. We basically need a guy who could score 20 to 25 a game, put butts in seats, be entertaining. We can sort of cater to him, and we're not that worried about some of the defensive stuff right now. We can hammer that out later. So I think he makes sense for either of those two teams.
I don't know if this is a compliment, Alex. Darius Acuff would be such a perfect Sacramento King. So I'm in agreement with you on that. Were some reports this morning that maybe Milwaukee would try to move up to get their hands on Darius Acuff, but very much looking forward to the NBA draft later tonight. You can catch Alex and I on the RotoWire YouTube channel. We'll be streaming along through the entire first round. Looking forward to chat with you later, man. Appreciate the time.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Alex Barutha, everybody, our lead NBA expert over at rotowire.com. We got another goal on the board in the Portugal-Uzbekistan game. We'll tell you all about it when we come back. We'll get Jeff Erickson's full Major League Baseball card for the Tuesday slate as well. You're watching Prop Points.
Watching Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back into Prop Points. Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you, bringing you up to the top of the hour. Money Moves coming up next here on VSiN. And we told you right before we went to break, we had another goal on the board. This came after it looked like Uzbekistan temporarily, Jeff, had made this a 2-1 game. Goal got pulled off the board. So we're back to 2-0 Portugal. Now 3-0 Portugal as we near the half down in Houston. Cristiano Ronaldo putting another goal on the board.
Yeah, absolutely. So we had a lot of dialogue talking about Cristiano Ronaldo, talking about whether he should be limited in his playing time, maybe benched. Roberto Martinez was adamant to sticking with him. And for 45 minutes, he's justified with that there. The two goals right off the top from him, three as a team. He's making the runs. He made a nice run to get open on that that third goal there. Some check to see if it was going to be offside, but no, it worked out quite well. So at least in this game, against a lesser opponent, admittedly, they're justified with that there. We'll see whether that endurance plays out for the rest of this game, for the rest of the tournament, more importantly. I think that Portugal took care of business today. That they got to that over 2.5 goals on them on their own right there. Should have been a fourth goal, but for a foul called in the Uzbekistan goal there. But still, much better performance by Portugal after a disappointing opener against DR Congo.
Yeah, live total sitting at 4.5 over at DraftKings, minus 172 to the over, plus 144 to that under 4.5, plus 160 if you want to go over 5.5. Jeff, let's get some Major League Baseball plays on the card. We'll start with a game in the afternoon window, Astros Blue Jays in Toronto, Peter Lambert, Shane Bieber, your pitching matchup, and you have a prop on one of those starters.
I do. And this notice the start time on this one there, 4:07 Eastern time. That's because there's a World Cup game in the 7 o'clock window there in Toronto. So they're trying not to conflict with that. We get Shane Bieber coming off the IL. I'm excited to see that. I'm not going to bet on him. I'm just going to watch it from afar. I do expect a shorter start in his first one back. We saw last night Hunter Brown only allowed one run in three innings, but only went three innings because the Blue Jays stretched him out to 85 pitches. It's not normal for them. Their pitches per plate appearance are actually one of the lowest in baseball, but I think they purposely tried to drag him out a little bit, make him work so they could get him out of there, and it worked. The plan worked. So they get Peter Lambert today, and Peter Lambert has rescued this bullpen a couple other times. I think they need him to go kind of deep in this game here. He's had three starts where he's gone seven innings. He's gone three more starts where he's gone over six or more innings. I like the over 16.5 outs because of that there. Just need to get two outs into the sixth inning, and we'll get this one right. So that's my play for this one there. Peter Lambert, over 16.5 outs, minus 119 over at DraftKings.
Got the Kansas City Royals on the road in Tampa tonight, 6:40 p.m. Eastern, first pitch. Rays, heavy favorites, minus 186 on the money line. Total coming in at 8. We got Shane McClanahan, the lefty on the hill for Tampa, taking on Luinder Avia for the Royals.
Yeah, and I'm paying attention to Bobby Witt here. He was in the batting cage yesterday, fielded grounders prior to yesterday's game. Very encouraging workout, but if he doesn't play, I really like the strikeout prop for Shane McClanahan. They're trying to make sure that Witt doesn't go on the IL. They're playing this game on turf. I wouldn't be surprised if he sits one more game. McClanahan only had three strikeouts in his previous game, but his stuff has been strong all around. The velocity's been good. I like the over 5.5 strikeouts. We're getting plus money at it tonight, plus 130 over at FanDuel.
Piecing our way through the Tuesday MLB slate here on Prop Points, Nick Whalen and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. Let's go to Yankees Tigers in the American League, Jeff. Carlos Rodon, Casey Mize on the hill. How are you playing this one?
I'm going to go with Carlos Rodon. It didn't work for us last week to go on our walk prop with him. 20 walks in 36 innings so far for Rodon. Only one walk last time out, but it's three or more in the previous three. On top of that, Detroit has the highest walk rate against left-handed pitching in baseball, 12.6% walk percentage. I'm going to go back to this well. Over 2.5 walks for Carlos Rodon, plus 119 over at DraftKings.
The Seattle Mariners taking on the Pittsburgh Pirates out in Pittsburgh. George Kirby, Mitch Keller on the hill. Got a team total play for us, Jeff.
Yeah, I do. And I thought I was getting, initially, I dug into this thinking I was going on the Seattle side of things. They actually score more runs in T-Mobile on a per game basis than they do on the road, which is like contra to everything they've done the last few years. One thing to watch for the Mariners, Dominic Canzone left with a hamstring injury last on Sunday. They were off yesterday. Luke Rayleigh had like one plate appearance all week with due to an illness. He's supposed to be back in that lineup. I really like attacking Mitch Keller at home. Mitch Keller's got a 5.77 ERA, a 1.44 WHIP. The over-under team total over at DraftKings was set at 4.5, whereas Pittsburgh is set at 3.5. And Pittsburgh, they're dominant at home offensively. A 119 WRC plus, that's third in baseball there. I know they're missing O'Neill Cruz, but they have another number of other strong lefties here. I like their ability to get over that 3.5 team total, -135 over at DraftKings.
Fun series ongoing in the nation's capital. Phillies Nationals tonight, despite being on the road, we got the Phillies as a -173 favorite on the money line, total up at 8.5. Jesus Luzardo going for Philadelphia, Zach Littell on the hill for the Nats. We have a rare dinger prop on a Tuesday, Jeff.
I can't pass up Zach Littell dinger props. I just can't. He's allowed 20 homers this year, 36 last year. He's our target. We want to go after him. 4 in his last starts. The one tricky thing is here, the Nationals are going to use Littell as a primary reliever this time and not as a straight-up starter. Maybe changing things up, doesn't face the top of the order for the Phillies, which is so tough initially when he comes out. Even still, I want to get behind Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber. It's comical looking at Schwarber's home run odds here. They're like best you can find is like +180. That's not a great payoff there. So instead with Schwarber, I'll go with the over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI -102 at DraftKings. I think that's a more competitive price to go that route. If a home run hits, you still get the payout there. Bryce Harper, I will go with a home run prop for him, +370. He's been on fire, +370 at Circa. And we're starting to see more Circa odds over at RotoWire's odds page there for the home run props and other props there, player props page over at RotoWire. So I'm happy to see Circa being added to the mix of those there, and they provide the best home run odds for Harper.
We are at the half, by the way, between Uzbekistan and Portugal. So 3-0 Portugal, very nearly 4-0. Jeff, I don't know if you caught that.
Yeah, I did see that.
Incredible play by the Uzbekistani defender to keep a Cristiano Ronaldo shot out of the goal. Would have been a first half hat trick for Ronaldo, but Portugal in control heading into the half. Let's head out to Cubs-Mets. Edward Cabrera, Kodai Senga, our pitching matchup, total 8.5. Mets slight favorites on the home money line.
Yeah, they are. And this is a weird game because the Cubs have been rained out 2 days in a row now. They were rained out Sunday against the Blue Jays, rained out last night against the Mets. Instead of going with Shota Imanaga, who was supposed to pitch on Sunday, was supposed to pitch yesterday, he's now going to be pitching in the doubleheader on Wednesday that they make it up. They wanted to keep Edward Cabrera on schedule because, yeah, got to get more of that. Anyhow, Edward Cabrera has dealt with some hand cramping in his last start. I'm going to just go ahead and try to fade Cabrera a little bit here. The Mets, you can get the team total. It's 3.5 of a team total. It's -145 over at DraftKings. You want to go with the alternate there, you can go that route as well. I don't mind the Juan Soto hits plus walks plus RBI. I like dabbling in that market. If you do that with Soto, it over one and a half at -125 as well.
Before we give you our best bets of the night, Jeff, I would be remiss if we did not get a play for Brewers Reds. What do you got?
Brandon Sproat versus Nick Lodolo. LA De La Cruz coming back from the IL tonight. Should be excited about that there. But what have they done with my boy, Nick Lodolo? 11 hits last time, 7 earned runs his last time out against the Mets. I know the Brewers have struggled against lefties lately, and Sproat's their weak link in the rotation, and I just can't get past the notion that their devil magic is going to get the better of the Reds again, as it always does. Brewers money line, -107 Circa. And I got to throw in a RotoWire smart money play as well. Colton Cowser to homer tonight against the Angels, +520 over at FanDuel.
Seeing a lot of sharp action coming in on that Colton Cowser home run prop. Best bets of the night, Jeff. I know you like the Kyle Schwarber on the over 2.5 hits plus runs plus RBI. Talked about that one in the Phillies Nats game. That's -102 at DraftKings. What do you got for us in the World Cup?
Harry Kane, first time goal scorer for England against Ghana today. It's been a tournament for the Stars. Let's jump right on that. +235 at DK. The anytime goal is minus 195, so I didn't see value in that. I know you got an NBA prop for us tonight as well, though.
Yeah, we're actually seeing some more props out there today on the DK Sportsbook. So I am holding a Keaton Wagler to go number 5 overall ticket. We put that in at plus 240 on Sunday night. That's now down to minus 130, so we're feeling good about that. But I'm going to add LeBaron Filon, guard out of Alabama, under 17.5 draft position, minus 120 over at DK. We'll have full reactions to the NBA draft on tomorrow's show. Time to hand things off to Money Move, Stormy and JBT coming up next.